Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church and thrilled to be back from Manhattan in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
New York City.
Yeah, what
you
a great
New York City
trip for two different reasons. We'll talk about all that in a moment, Doug, but
yes.
How are you doing?
And fantastic.
What do we need to cover today?
Let's see. Do you want to talk about the presidential election?
No, not really.
All right. Okay. Do you want to talk about the debate between the con? Do you want to talk about con?
Oh, no.
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 How about Gawker and Hulk Hogan?
You want to? No.
Don't want to cover that.
Why don't?
What about Zika?
Zika, very important. Not really.
Okay. How were your travels?
That's what I want to talk about.
What
you know, first of all, let's let the audience know what in the world I was doing out there.
Yes.
In Manhattan and then Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I had heard you were going to New York. I don't know how this Michigan trip got.
Yeah,
that, shoehorned
the Michigan
in there.
Trip is a creationist trip. So I planned to go to Michigan for this three-day creation event. It was fabulous.
Wow, cool.
A large gathering at Concordia University, creation scientists. There was maybe one or two old earthers there.
Oh.
But it was just fabulous to hear the latest science, all the work being done by young earth creationists. I mean, there's scientists from NASA.
Young earthers at NASA?
Literally.
Really?
From just a stunning group of people, PhDs everywhere. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a PhD. Real Science Radio has had a significant impact in helping all these scientists network.
Yeah.
And keeping up on the latest from the other disciplines other than their own discipline.
Right, yeah.
So we've got so many friends and many more interviews coming up because of the trip.
Oh,
just a lot of great stuff. Oh, in New York, well, there's a network TV program on marijuana.
Yeah.
They're up to the final program of the whole season.
A whole season on marijuana?
Whole season on marijuana.
Okay.
And the producer realized, well, we never had anybody on the show to talk about possible negative effects of marijuana.
That sounds about right.
For up to the last episode.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah.
To look into the... Okay.
So yeah. the network is headquartered in New York City. So they're looking all over the country for somebody to talk about what's wrong with pot.
Okay.
And they asked me to fly back there.
That's great.
So it was a great opportunity. We'll wait to see what happens. Likely most of it will end up on the cutting room floor. But as far as I was concerned, it was just a tremendous opportunity to speak to the host and the crew.
I predicted that at church on Sunday.
What, Doug?
That the most important part of the trip to you, going to New York City to appear on some big network television show, would be to witness to the crew and the producers and to tell them something
that they never heard before. Never heard.
Especially from a Christian.
Yeah, never heard. And so the whole thing I thought was awesome. Maybe we're going to record for 15 minutes for a 2 or 3 minute segment, something like that. We ended up going for like an hour and 20 minutes recording.
I am not surprised.
With the whole crew, the cameras from all the angles.
Yeah.
In a church that was built back in the 1800s.
It was filmed in a church.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the whole thing was, it was very significant just to look straight at this host.
Yeah.
Who were standing up for the entire interview. We're up in the balcony, though. But the center aisle, and then there are pews on each side.
Right.
So we're standing across the aisle from each other, talking to each other.
Okay.
So to start with, the technical director, he says, okay, we got to get the camera angles right, so you guys just stand there and just look right at each other. So it's sort of weird, right? Two guys?
Yeah.
So we're looking right into each other's eyes, and I say, do I get paid extra for this? This is like hazardous duty. This is just weird. And he laughed and
he
said,
did he smell like pot?
No, he talked about smoking pot, about he thinks he drives better when he smokes pot.
Oh, this is the host.
Yeah, the typical pothead.
Right, yeah.
And so anyway, the whole thing, I was extremely pleased with how it all went. And quite often when you're done, you second guess yourself. You don't like how it went. I was very thankful for the opportunity.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait until we can promote the actual network and the actual show.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's all embargoed right now. You can't talk too much about it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
That sounds great.
And then I flew from New York to Ann Arbor, which sort of was weird with my travel schedule. It interfered with the original flights. But went to Ann Arbor, the Creation Conference that was organized by the Creation Research Society, Dr. Kevin Anderson, all those guys.
Oh, yes. I heard the interview with him, the targeted
antibodies.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, just so great. And he heads up their iDino project on dinosaur soft tissue. Yes. He's a molecular biologist. And Danny Faulkner, astronomer, was there with AIG. So many scientists. What a tremendous event it was. And on Real Science Radio, we'll be sharing some of the particulars and interviewing some of the scientists.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be real good. But, Doug, for 25 years on the air, I have avoided doing what I've heard other hosts do, talking about their travel woes.
Oh, you had travel woes?
Their travel hassles.
Oh, do tell, do tell.
And so I'm pent up, you know, with 25 years of BEL traveling.
Now, you have traveled a lot. You've traveled extensively.
I used to be a 1K with United, which meant flying 100,000 miles a year.
Right.
All around the world.
You've done international travel. You've traveled extensively. And
so,
you've never on the air?
No.
Well, you got to do that. Bob, people love to hear about other people's misery. Well, you got to share that.
So this weekend. But wait, before this weekend, I'll just give two quick flights. A TWA flight and a United flight.
Oh, yes.
TWA stood for Teeny Weeny Airlines.
Possibly the flight
that led to their eventual demise.
That's right. They're no longer in business.
Doug, this flight out of St. Louis was so small, the plane, that the pilot is also the steward, and he's the guy who loads your luggage into the compartment. Same guy.
Okay, TWA you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he gets on the flight, the most embarrassing thing ever on an airplane. He goes up to this big lady, and he says, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry, but I have to ask you to get off the plane."
Oh, that's painful.
And she's like, "Why do I got to get off the plane?" He said, "There's too much weight on the plane."
Oh, no.
Everyone wanted to die.
That's, well, sometimes so an event happens in your life.
She gets off the plane. He has to get her luggage out of the luggage compartment. And so she's walking back. So he takes his seat in the cockpit, and there's no door. It's just a curtain.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sitting right behind the curtain.
Okay.
We take off. It's a bad weather day.
Oh, you got to love
those. And on the radar, I see this red blotch appear.
Yeah.
So he is steering the plane around the red blotch. So it takes about 30 minutes, but we go around the red blotch. Then there's another red blotch, and then two red blotches. So he steers between the red blotches.
Okay.
Now there's half a dozen red blotches, and soon they're all red blotches. And we're in the red, and an alarm goes off on the plane, as loud as a siren on a police car. And it goes off for the next 45 minutes. It's blaring.
Brutal.
We were all killed on the flight.
No one survived.
We landed. We got off the plane. And everybody wanted to know what was the alarm about, what's going on. And nobody asked a word. We just all left. That was it. And the other flight was taken out of Chicago's O'Hare Airport on a United dual propeller plane. And you reach that point of no return on takeoff where you're going fast enough. Where you have to take off.
You got to go.
Doesn't matter what.
Right.
You can't stop. There's not enough runway left to change your mind. Mm-hmm. And I say to the guy sitting next to me, I'm pointing out the window.
Yeah.
Say, shouldn't that propeller be turning?
No.
So he looks at it. He's like, yeah, I think so. So we take off and the plane is like, it's in strong wind. It's freezing cold in the winter. And it's bobbing back and forth, right to left, port to starboard. The pilot announces the propeller's not turning. The engine's not working. It would have been great to figure that out before, but to turn around, he had to go all the way over Chicago and turn around over Lake Michigan at night, freezing cold, wind blow. It's the windy city, and we come back. It takes like, I don't know, 35 minutes. We come back, and all the fire engines, the ambulances, the police cars, the whole runway is lit up. Oh. It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
And when we land, they say, okay, we can get you all on another flight. Every single person says, no thanks. Four of us rented a car and we drove to South Bend.
That's what I would.
So fast forward to this weekend.
Now, there's no way this weekend could possibly top.
Well, these were
the prop.
These were not scary, dramatic, but these were just bizarre.
I get it now. You've been saving up these stories for 25 years.
Yeah, because I just don't want to tell these kinds of stories.
Oh, no. I want to know now.
On the air. Doug,
I want to know what happened.
I just don't want to tell them. Okay, so there's the flight and the hotel in Ann Arbor.
So which is worse?
The hotel.
Okay, then start with the flight because I want to save the best for last.
All right. I was supposed to go round trip from Denver to Detroit and back home.
Right.
And that was booked. But this network said, we need you in Manhattan. So we'll fly you one way to Manhattan and then from JFK to Detroit, where you could resume your trip and your conference and your travels.
Sounds simple enough.
So, okay, so I'm going to skip my flight there, but take the return leg.
Got it.
But I have heard that some airlines, if you skip a leg, they could cancel your ticket.
Well, that makes sense.
I've heard that.
They could assume you didn't show up.
I mean, you bought the ticket. The seat is yours.
Right.
But I thought, okay, let me check. What's an easy way to check? So I go online to the airline's website, and I use my record locator. Log on. There's my flight. It's on time. It's still scheduled. And there are my seats for Detroit to Chicago, Chicago to Denver.
Right.
There are my two seats, 9E and 23B or whatever. So I think, I don't really trust this. I'm going to see if I could upgrade my seats.
That's a good idea.
To see if it's real.
Yeah, if you can interact, then you're...
Because
yeah.
They always want you to spend more money.
Yes.
And so I put in my BEL credit card, and I upgrade both seats. So I know that everything is fine. They upgraded my seats. It says your ticket is confirmed. No need to call in. So I get to the airport, and for 2.5 hours, I'm at the ticket counter. And they say, sorry, your ticket has been canceled. And I say, how could it be canceled? I show them the receipt from the airline. So they say, well, go talk to this guy, go talk to that guy, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
It took 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
I got there 3 hours early. So finally they said, look, the flight is booked, except your seat that you have, 9E, is empty.
Hey,
because it's your seat. I said, well, since it's my seat, can I get in it?
How about that?
Sit in it? They said, no, you'd have to buy another ticket, and then we could give you your seat. So I said, well, what would that cost? They said, $485. I already paid for the round trip. So I said, all right, here's my credit card. And they swiped it, $485. So
Wow. There's
nobody in the security lines. I go right through, right to the gate. Doesn't even take 10 minutes. I get to the gate, and they say, sorry, the flight is overbooked.
Get out.
You can't get on the flight. I'm there. I'm watching the flight. I'm watching it pull away from the gate. And I'm thinking, I have to preach tomorrow morning
at
Denver Bible Church.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have to preach. And so it's all. So that's when I sent an email out to the guys, to you. Thank you for preaching and doing a fabulous job. I heard from so many people how great it was, including Cheryl. Well, she said it was just awesome to hear what the kids hear in Children's Church.
That's what we did.
And how really it's the same truth as for adults.
Very similar, except we stop and do vocabulary a lot more often.
With the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, great job. So I sent that first email.
Get back to watching your plane go away.
So the plane is pulling away from the gate.
I'm reveling in this.
Yeah. But anyway, so they end up apologizing, and they gave me an overnight stay at a beautiful hotel right at the airport, a meal, and a check.
A check?
For $1,350. $1,350.
Wait a minute.
It was way more than both tickets combined.
I was going to say, did you make money?
Plus, they put me on two flights, a connecting flight, to get back to Denver the next morning. So it's like I hit the jackpot.
So there's a happy ending to your story.
Sort of, except for the Victory Inn in Ann Arbor.
The Victory Inn in Ann Arbor. That's right. Now, I've got to hear about this because I have stayed in some of the worst hotels. I have sent pictures of cockroaches to family members.
Yeah.
So I know where it's at, but I want to hear this.
Victory Inn and Suites
in
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I'm going to pull it up on TripAdvisor.
Now, when I pulled up to the hotel, you know, you're traveling, you miss your wife and kids. I call Cheryl.
Oh, yeah.
Chit chat, and your wife wants to know, are things going well, things bad? So I'm telling her about the hotel, about how terrible it is, and she is cracking up laughing at how bad it is. And
of
so
course she is.
After I tell her the whole thing, that it's just blood stains on the walls, the whole thing.
Well, now I haven't had blood.
After, Doug, after I tell her the whole thing, I say, but it's way worse than all that. Well, I gave her the name of a person that I won't say on the air. This is perhaps the most successful listener to Bob and Your Live in Real Science Radio we've ever had, has supported the show, supports Denver Bible Church. I invited him to the conference. So he decided to go to the conference to hear all these scientists.
How cool is that?
Which was so awesome.
Yeah.
And he had asked me weeks earlier, he said, where are you going to stay?
Uh-oh.
So I say, Victory Inn and Suites, where else? What can we name him? We got to come up with a name.
We'll call him Biff.
I said, Cheryl, Biff is staying at the hotel.
Biff.
She just died laughing.
Because now I know who you're talking
because
about.
Because he pulled up in a car that was worth more than the hotel. His car, and I'm not exaggerating, his car, anyone in the nation, if they would be offered ownership of the hotel or Biff's car, yeah, they would take the
car. They would take the car.
Yeah. So, Doug, I'm now on Travel Advisor.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Your review is number one right now.
Ann Arbor. Okay, let's skip my review for a moment. Oh, mine is number one. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, that's just awesome. But let me read some of the titles, okay, of some of the reviews.
Well, wait, before you get to the titles.
Yeah.
If you go to TripAdvisor, they put up a chart at the top of the reviews. Are they generally good? Are they generally bad? How do they skew? So you can kind of see in a chart.
Yeah.
It's really, really thin. It's at the top is excellent, and at the bottom there's a bar for terrible.
Yeah.
It's really, really thin all the way down until terrible.
Yeah.
And then it just shoots out like a hockey stick on that global warming chart.
Yeah, it's almost all the reviews are terrible or poor. And there's only two that are excellent, and they're written by the owners. There's no question. I read the excellent reviews written by the owners. But here's just some of the titles of the reviews, okay? A challenge to find some nice words. This hotel needs to be torn down. Wife and I agree, worst place ever. This is from a gal from Germany. Scary, dirty, and made me cry.
Made her cry?
That's you could totally, when you go there, you totally could relate to this. Here.
Made me cry.
I would not stay here for free. Please don't stay here. These are the reviews. And when you read, Cheryl and I read a few of the reviews. We were laughing, cracking up. We fell on the floor laughing. Dirtiest bathroom ever. Grossly dirty. Wouldn't recommend this place to a homeless person. And these are nasty. These are just the headlines. A step up from camping in the rain.
That's good. Now that's
the room was just nasty. How about this in all caps? Don't stay here.
That sounds about right.
It goes on and on. Why can't I give a negative rating? Please demolish. Please renovate or close.
All right, now.
Yeah.
This begs the question, how did you end up booked at this hotel? Who was responsible?
I did it. You know, you're in a hurry.
Ah.
I can't believe Travelocity. I figured I'm in a hurry. What do I got? 8 minutes to book a trip because we're busy every day.
I hear you.
We have so many deadlines. So I booked the flight, the hotel, and a rental car all at one time. In the hotel, I just said the cheapest hotel in Ann Arbor.
Okay. Well,
big mistake. So here's my here's my review, all right? I'm glad to hear it's at the top.
It's number one.
Don't stay in this hotel unless it's ever demolished and rebuilt. Right next to the front door is their scum-infested, off-limits, should-be-condemned, broken-down pool. And with it, Victory Inn puts their best foot forward. You don't want to hear about the stench of mold that smacks you when you force open their stuck front doors. The oppressive odor of chemical pesticides, which is what the smell was, I can only hope. As you burrow further into your new home, you notice that the aroma has its own unique taste.
Oh, that's nasty.
And the taste overwhelms your buds upon entering your own room. By the way, my door never worked.
And you know that there's no point in asking for another room because they're all like
that. They're all like that. And I did tell them the door was broke. It remained broke the whole 2 days I was there. The toilet never shut up. Uh-huh. The shower watered the moldy ceiling in the toilet area very well. Oh, no. Two things, save yourself, and two, doesn't Ann Arbor have a health department that someone can call? So that was it.
Victory. It's called a Victory Inn in Ann Arbor.
A Victory Inn
and
Suites.
By the way, they are not a sponsor of the broadcast. We just want to make that clear.
I think we should put the name of that hotel in the title of the show. So when people search for
that
hotel,
with
all our gravitas on Google,
that's right.
They just might get us as number one or two.
We'll push them up. They might be able to hire a maintenance guy.
Yeah.
Get some more visits.
So, Doug.
made me cry. That's funny.
That is.
So I have some advice for you going forward. My lovely wife, she books all my travel.
Oh.
And she entertains herself with the reviews. She'll go 3 or 4 pages deep into the reviews.
It's a great idea.
And so
because they're hysterical.
They're
informative.
They are. And they'll save you from being an adult.
When I first heard about TripAdvisor, I thought, oh, there's so much work to do these different internet apps. And, you know, coming from a software side, I used to work for Microsoft. But what a brilliant app.
Yeah.
And with our family, we end up in the city. You go to TripAdvisor. Things to do, what's number one rated, what's number two, number three, and that's what you do.
I've used it a number of times just over the past.
Like in Denver, you drive up to Mount Evans
in
the right time of the year, in the summer. It's just an awesome app. I love it, and we gave a great review for the Dinosaur and Fossil Museum up in Glendive, Montana.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, that's so. Another thing that my lovely bride does is she says, if it was nice, tell me, because I'm going to write them a nice review.
Oh.
Because she understands the value
of
that. And if it's lousy, she wants to know because she loves to write a lousy review.
Yeah. I Uber pooled in Manhattan because you Uber everywhere, of course.
Right.
But in whether you're in Seattle or London or wherever. But in Manhattan, there's so much competition. They have Uber pool.
Right.
So you get an Uber car. You know, one or two other people get it also, and it takes a little longer, but I was paying like $9 to go across Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
So, Doug, I came back with the question, why can't Hillary Clinton stop lying? That's on the Atlantic.
The Atlantic? That's not a conservative magazine.
Hillary is their gal. They're rooting for Hillary to win.
This is why I thought she would not be the nominee, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to do the mea culpa. I was wrong.
Yeah.
The country is way farther gone than I thought.
Yeah.
And the Democrats just, they're such a self-loathing lot that even though they know they hate her, they know she's abusive toward them and that she doesn't care about
them. She's the enabler in chief.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So disgusting.
They will vote for her.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I thought the Democrats had some self-respect left.
Yeah. So it's hysterical to me that the Atlantic publishes.
That's the headline. Why can't
this major story this week?
Yeah.
August 2016. Why can't Hillary Clinton stop lying? And they're talking about lies like from this week.
Yes. And
she just can't stop lying.
There's no implication in the headline that there's any question that she lies.
Oh, no. Everyone knows. Right.
The Atlantic knows she lies.
And the few people left who say she's honest are on her payroll.
I think there's only one left, Lanny Davis. He's the last man standing.
Right.
Saying that Hillary's an honest person.
So she's a liar about everything. But when we point that out, there might be a handful of new listeners who think that we're rooting for Donald Trump. That would be a huge mistake.
No, certainly not rooting for
him. He's a socialist, child killer, pro-sodomite, enemy of the gospel, enemy of Christianity. Mm-hmm. He's everything Mitt Romney was plus.
Yeah.
And so what a total fraud. And he's
not a fan of Donald Trump.
He's proof that Christians don't really care about morality or honoring God. They want to compete with the Democrats.
Yeah.
They want to win because they're partisan. It's like rooting for the Stanley Cup. It's your team.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And beating the other guy. It's a lust. It's a competitive lust. Competition is great. But in this case, it's a lust. And if you've got to support a child killer, that's okay because you want to win and you want to beat the other guy.
And we're going to win so much. We're going to win so much and we're going to be so great. And we're going to build a wall that's so high.
Yeah.
That's and they love it. They lap it up.
Yeah,
right. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Oh, can we? I think I have to, and I think I should do this on the air because it involves a couple of friends of mine. But I do want to give some credit to Ted Cruz for not endorsing Donald Trump. I have to admit that I respect that about Mr. Cruz.
Well, could I argue with that?
Okay.
If he would have said, look, when you get down to the bottom, most fundamental issue, Donald Trump advocates killing kids.
He did not say
so
that.
So I will not support anyone who's willing to kill a single innocent child. It's like offering children to Molech, and you think, well, I support this guy who sacrifices kids to Molech because it'll be good for the nation.
Good for jobs.
So stupid, yeah. So immoral, so self-centered. And it's such a horrific way to dishonor God by supporting people who sacrifice children because you think you'll be better off. Well, guess what? You will not be better off.
Well, no.
You will be worse off, and your nation will be worse off, and your church just might end up destroyed.
Mm.
So Ted Cruz gave the reason why he wouldn't support Trump.
Okay, let me give you this caveat. I did not watch nor listen to Ted Cruz's speech.
Okay.
I just heard
this is after the convention. He didn't endorse at the convention.
I heard that because I didn't watch the convention.
So after the convention, he was getting roundly criticized.
That I heard.
And he had his supporters there. And he said, to paraphrase, if you think I'm going to support somebody who said my wife was ugly and my father's an assassin, I'm nobody's lapdog. So that was his argument. Whoa. Now, during World War II, George Patton, General Patton, he's probably the single most effective weapon that we had against the Germans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Our most effective weapon was a human being, and it was Patton.
Yeah, he was.
And so he smacks a coward, and all the liberals freak out.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Patton had said to you, your wife's ugly and I think your father's a criminal, you're not going to undermine his fight against the enemy.
Well, no.
You're going to take it up with him after the war
because
it's a personal issue.
Right.
So if Donald Trump was going to stop the killing of innocent children, you don't undermine him because he insults your wife.
Well, no, of course not.
Right. That's a separate matter.
Right.
But so Ted Cruz was petty and personal when children are being dismembered all over the nation, and he makes it petty and personal.
So the killing of innocent children just isn't in the
top. It didn't rate.
It's not in the top five or 10 items.
Right. But, and hey, I appreciate him being furious at Trump for making fun of his wife. That's
right.
Awesome.
I can understand.
I think he should have punched Trump right in the face.
That would have been great.
But after the election, if Trump is going to fight to save innocent children, but that was all a lie, as Trump has already admitted, that was all a lie.
Yeah.
Just to get the Christians to support a pro-abort.
Mm. So you're annoyed, offended, in fact, and I think you're even irate, that the killing of innocent children wasn't even on the radar screen.
It wasn't an issue.
When Ted decided not to.
Ted Cruz only supports laws that regulate killing the innocent, and he's only opposed laws that say the baby is a person.
All right.
Well, so that's his record.
I retract.
All right. So thank you.
I retract whatever I gave to Ted.
Well,
I never heard of the guy, frankly. I don't care about the guy.
So
I'm trying to mend fences with some friends of mine.
All right.
I think it's more important that you go ahead and.
All right.
Get to the heart of the issue, as you so often do, Bob. We're just about out of time.
So what do you do when you're faced with a choice between someone who wants to kill those kids and someone else who wants to kill these kids? You oppose them both. You don't support Herod because you become a Herodian. And the publicans, they were no good. Now we have the Republicans. So, hey, we are out of time. This is Bob Enyart, KGov.com. May God bless you.